Hi, Ram children. Welcome once again. This is your program on Thursday Live, The Children's Hour.
Hi, Ram children. Indeed. And coming to you live from our studios at Prashanthi Nilayam.
So, children, are you all getting excited about your vacations that will start in a month or so? Or are you tensed about your exams that is fast approaching?
Oh, Ganesh, don't even mention the name of exams. I'm terribly terrified by the thought of it. Thank God I've finished my studies and don't have to think of exams at all.
But surely exams were never so bad always, huh?
That's true. There were times when I have enjoyed taking exam too. Have you ever looked forward to an exam, Ganesh?
Yes, sometimes.
Really? Okay, you tell me. When would you look forward to an exam?
When I'm well prepared for it. I would then be all excited about taking the test. See, today, you are saying you are happy that you don't have to take exams anymore. How is that so?
Because I've finished my schooling and I have also got a couple of degrees.
But would you have got to where you are without taking exams? Your teachers would have never known if you have learned all they taught you. So they can never let you leave school.
That's true. Exams are those checkpoints, children, which indicate to you if you are ready to go to the next level.
Yes. That is why Swami would tell us when we were students that we should welcome exams because they take us to the next level.
And that is the case with life too. We all will face little tests and trials. We must welcome them. For that is when we know that God is testing if we have learned the lessons we were supposed to learn. And if we are ready, we go higher.
Very, very true. So children, don't be afraid of exams. On the contrary, positively look forward to them. With confidence, take them on.
But children, how will you be ready and strong to take on the exams? When can you be confident? You tell me, Ganesh. When were you confident to take an exam?
That's a difficult one, but there were some times when I would read my subjects every day, little bit daily. So by the time exams come, little by little, I would have read the entire subject. That way, I would have no tensions and worries and would go write my exams cheerfully.
Absolutely. Same here. On the contrary, whenever I did not do that, there would be a huge heap to study just before the exams and I would get so tensed.
And it is more difficult to study when tensed.
Very true.
So, what we study would also be difficult to remember, isn't it?
Yes. So children, remember to study a little every day. So by the time your exams come, you won't have much to worry about. Imagine it to be a huge hill. If you chip a small piece of it every day, it is just a matter of time before the whole mound vanishes.
Oh, yes. You are talking about exams and subjects. Do you know a man actually chipped at a huge mountain, little by little, and bore a cave through it single-handedly?
Oh yes, I have heard about it. He alone took it upon himself to bore a huge hole through a massive hill. But why did he do that? How long did it take? And who was he?
Children, you are going to know the answers for all these questions and come to know about this phenomenal person in today's story time.
As always, we have Sumana Madam who's going to tell us this exceptional story of human resilience and willpower. So shall we listen then?
Sairam children, today, during the story time, let us hear a very inspiring true tale of a man who challenged a mountain. He was just a common man, an illiterate rustic from a then unheard of village called Gelor of Gaya district in the Bihar state. This is the story of Dasharath Majhi, also called the Mountain Man. This Gelor hamlet is situated in the midst of rocky hills, due to which the region was isolated from the rest of the world. Our story's hero, Dasharath Maji, and the village folks had to trek on foot or cart more than 50 kilometers through the dangerous hilly terrain for hours to reach the nearest town. Do you know, children, why this hardship? All because of a stubborn rocky mountain, the culprit, which stood in the way. Or else, it would have been a very short distance, less than a 15-kilometer straight stretch of a road to reach the nearest town from Dhelur. But due to this mountain, they had to take a roundabout route. And this was the scene before Dasharath Maji took up the monumental task. And what was that task? This simple villager had decided to single-handedly cut a pass or a path through the hill. Dasharath Maji was not any engineer or not even a road builder. He was just another landless farmer. Are you wondering then what made him do this? Well, our hero and the other villagers had to go through the jagged, rock-bound hills to reach the other side to get employed in the fields. One day, Maji's wife, Falguni Devi, was crossing that hill. She was bringing him food and water, when suddenly she slipped, fell over the rocks and got seriously injured. There was no hospital in the village, and unfortunately, the nearest town with a doctor was located 70 kilometers away. But it was too late. She died due to lack of timely medical attention. It was a very sad day in the life of Dasharath Maji. That night, as he pondered over the sad happenings, he said to himself, "Enough. Enough, this hill has given us trouble for centuries. I have to act now." The tragedy had strengthened his resolve. The next morning, a determined Dasharath Maji sold his goats and with that little money bought the primitive tools, a hammer and a chisel. From then on, it was the strong-willed rustic with a hammer and a chisel versus an old, rugged, huge, cold, rocky mountain. He had challenged the mountain. "As you cannot move, I will bore my path through you." With that determination, he struck the mountain with his hammer. Everyone laughed at him, called him mad, ridiculed him. And some concerned people tried to stop him, dissuade him, saying that it was not practically possible to cut a path through the mountain. Even the government was not interested. But this hero refused to budge. Children, let us just imagine we were witness to this solo epic project from day one of his challenge. One man with a hammer and a chisel against a huge mountain. How many cubic inches of rock he could have broken on the first day? How did he feel while walking back home that evening of that first day? Dejected? Discouraged? Okay. Even after a month, seeing his progress, shouldn't he have given up? No way. This Dasharath Maji hammered away at the rocks day after day from morning till nightfall. No Sunday breaks, no festival holidays. He just hammered and hammered away for the next long 22 years. Can you believe that? 22 years. Is there a limit to man's determination for the right cause? No. The man had finally chiseled through the rocky mountain single-handedly a path 25 feet wide, 30 feet high, and 360 feet long right through the mountain. 30 feet high could be as high as a two-storied building, or if you say a 360 feet, it could be like 36-storied building in a horizontal way. Can you imagine? And he had completed this project in 1988. What was his motivation? Anyway, he had lost his wife. He said in an interview, "My love for my wife was the initial spark that ignited in me the desire to carve a road. But what kept me working without fear or worry all those years was the desire to see thousands of people crossing the hill with ease. Wasn't that a noble cause?" Now, all the people of Gaya district who had ridiculed him initially have nothing but gratitude for the mountain man who made their lives so much easier because he believed in himself. Dasharath Maji had bombarded the mountain not with any dynamite, but with that dynamite of willpower and determination. Children, isn't the story of Dasharath Maji very inspiring? I don't mean you have to challenge the hills, but with determination, any fear can be conquered. Any goal can be achieved. Let us take small examples from our daily life. The examinations are fast approaching. Slowly the fear of tackling difficult subjects is building up. You're not able to control the urge to watch your favorite TV programs. You have to watch the World Cup cricket, Facebook. God, my PlayStation's video games. Please, just 5 more minutes. Please, I want to play just 5 more minutes. All these must be troubling you, right? But kids, it's time to stay focused. It requires a small dynamite of determination. These little self-controls will increase the willpower. There are 2 choices before us. Do we want to be inspiring, our lives amazing like Dasharath Maji? Or do we want to be only amazed at what Dasharath Maji achieved like the people of Gaylord? The choice is in everyone's life. With this, it is Sai Ram to all the young listeners.
Oh, what a great story. What a great man.
What can one not achieve if one makes up one's mind? And 22 long years. Just amazing.
Yes. And imagine, he was first mocked by people of his own village. But in later years, he received so much respect that even district collectors and chief ministers would get up and offer him a seat when he would meet them.
And when he passed away in the year 2007, his home state Bihar gave him a state funeral. How inspiring is his life.
And children, there is one more thing about Dasharath Manji. Sometime before he passed away, Swami's devotees prepared a drama about his life and wanted to stage it in front of Swami in his divine presence. So they went to his home and requested him to come to Prashantanilayam. That way, he came to Puttaparthi and had Swami's darshan and received Swami's blessings too.
Wow! Isn't that a perfect finish to the story of this simple yet phenomenal man?
You know, there are so many important lessons to be learned from this story, children. Isn't it? Nothing in this world is stronger than your willpower, not even mountains. So, never consider yourself as weak or small. That is why Swami says that God is within you.
The second lesson is this. When we take up some effort, people might laugh at us, make fun of us and try to tell us that there is no use in what we do. But we should believe in ourselves and keep trying.
The same people who made fun of you will come and celebrate your success. So, never ever give up.
I know of a classmate of mine who had the strong desire to play tabla before Swami during bhajans. But he did not know to play, and there were many good tabla players. So how will he get a chance? But he learned from some of his elder brothers in the hostel and practiced every day. He would practice early in the morning. He would finish lunch early and practice. He would come back from college and practice. He practiced so hard that sometimes we would see that even while in sleep, he would shake his hands as though he was playing the tabla.
Wow. He did try quite hard. But was he able to learn the instrument? Did he realize his dream of playing before Swami?
Of course, Ganesh. In about a year and a half or so, he started playing tabla very well and could also play before Swami. Not only that, with time, he could also teach the others how to play tabla.
There is nothing we cannot achieve if we try hard and sincerely. But to store such a strong and powerful will, don't we need an equally strong container?
Very, very true. Dasharatha Manji had a very strong will, no doubt. But he could achieve what he did because of a strong body too, isn't it?
Yes. That's why this body is a very important instrument. If we take good care of it, we can pursue our dreams. We can achieve what we want. We can help others and lead a life of meaning. So why are we waiting? Shall we listen to Dr. Latashri from the General Hospital? She is going to tell us about another interesting aspect of this human body.
Om Shri Sai Ram, offering most humble pranams at the divine lotus feet of our ever-present Lord. Sai Ram children, today we shall discuss about the last of the five sense organs in the human body, that is the skin. The skin, interestingly children, is the largest organ in the human body. Why? Because it covers the entire length and breadth of the body. The skin protects us from several external influences like the ultraviolet rays present in the sunlight, from germs, bacteria, infection, and also injury. And not only this children, because of the skin, you are able to feel the soothing touch of someone close to you, say your parents, your elders. You are able to touch their feet and seek their blessings. You are able to experience various sensations like pain, pressure, heat and cold. Skin also secretes sweat, which eliminates toxins from the human body. So we can say skin is an excretory organ too. Skin cools the body, so it plays a vital role in body temperature regulation. Skin being such a precious gift of God, we must take good care of it. I am sure you all will agree with me if I say, when you have well-kept, good, clean, healthy, glowing skin, it adds radiance to your entire personality. First and the foremost, to keep the skin clean and healthy, your hands must be clean. We must wash our hands with soap and water several times a day, especially before eating and after eating and after ablutions. This is very important because it is through these hands and fingers that skin infection from one part of the body can reach various other parts of the human body. The nails have to be always kept trim and free of dirt. The first and the foremost thing in the morning, you must have a regular, thorough bath using soap and water. You must use gentle soap for bathing. If you are washing your hair, you must use a gentle shampoo. Swami says, just as you clean your body with soap and water in the morning, you must cleanse your mind by chanting the Gayatri Mantra, which removes impurities from the mind. So children, remember to chant the Gayatri Mantra when you have your regular morning bath every day. While taking bath, you must pay special attention to your underarms, then behind the ear, where dirt can easily accumulate and go unnoticed. You must scrub your soles, that is the undersurface of the feet, with a foot scrub. If you are oiling your hair, you must massage your scalp nicely with fingers with the oil, and then you must make sure that the oil is washed off from the hair. Once you finish bathing, you must pat dry your skin thoroughly with a clean and washed towel. This is very important because, especially in the creases of the body, the inner sides of the thighs, in between the fingers and the toes, if there is any moisture left, it can easily attract fungus and can give you an itchy skin lesion. You must wear clean, washed and comfortable clothes once you finish drying your body. Clothing should be comfortable. It should not be too tight and skin-hugging because it can cause discomfort to the skin and also fungal infection of the skin. Clothing should be appropriate to the season of the year. Say, for example, in summer, cotton clothes are preferable, and in winter, you may need an additional woolen clothing. And the clothes have to be always clean and preferably sun-dried, especially the undergarments, because sunlight is a natural disinfectant. As school children, all of you will be wearing socks every day, and you must see that the feet are dry before you wear your pair of socks. The pair of socks has to be changed every day and should be thoroughly washed and dried. And to prevent the socks from being smelly, you can dust your feet with talcum powder, and it also helps to dry your feet. If you have a dry, itchy, flaky skin, you must moisturize your skin. Simple white petroleum jelly, which is known as Vaseline, is good enough to moisturize the skin. The lips also should be moisturized to prevent the lips from cracking. You can use a moisturizer for the face also. Especially in peak summer when you are going out, you must use a sunscreen of sun protection factor of not less than 15. Even those with oily skin can use oil control moisturizer and oil control sunblock. Young children, especially at the time of puberty, tend to have oily skin which is prone for pimples called acne. When you have an oily skin, you must use a cleanser for your face instead of the regular bathing soap. And you must wash your face at least 3 to 4 times a day thoroughly and dry your face. You can use an anti-acne lotion or an anti-acne gel to control the pimples. If the problem is very severe and the face is full of painful pimples, you can consult a skin specialist or a dermatologist and get it treated. When you have dandruff in your hair, dandruff is a white, flaky, itchy condition of the scalp, which is called seborrheic dermatitis. This dandruff can increase your problem of acne. So dandruff should always be kept under control with an anti-dandruff shampoo. And when the problem is very severe, you must consult a doctor and get it treated. And as the child's skin is normally soft, tender, blemishless, children don't need to use any heavy makeup or cosmetics. Whenever you have to use makeup, you must make sure that the makeup is washed off completely from the face before you retire to bed. Whenever you happen to observe any new patch on the skin, say a light colored patch, especially with impaired sensation, or you have a new pigmentation on the skin, or a rash, or any skin eruption, you must immediately consult a doctor. Drug allergy is the one which commonly gives a skin rash. So whenever you happen to get any rash in the skin, after you take a medicine, you must immediately consult the doctor. These are some of the things you have to be careful about to maintain the skin healthy. And also you have to do some things every day as a part of your routine skin care. You must drink at least 8 to 10 glasses of water a day to keep the skin well hydrated. You have all learned the importance of eating fresh fruits every day in the last couple of sessions in the children's hour. So you must include lot of fresh fruits like apple, amla, orange, guava, all these fruits every day to keep your skin healthy. You must also eat lot of fresh vegetables and whole grains which are rich in vitamins and minerals to keep the skin healthy. A good night's rest of 6 to 8 hours is essential to keep the skin healthy. Otherwise, you yourself can notice bogginess of skin under the eyes, dark circles around the eyes when you don't sleep well in the night. And also, smoking is one of the important factors that damages the skin. Not only skin, every organ in the human body. Smoking causes narrowing of the blood vessels that supply the skin. So, oxygen, nourishment and nutrition to the skin suffer when there is lack of blood supply. Because of this, the skin looks older than your age and the skin also will have wrinkles. Smoking also decreases the strength of collagen and elastin, which are responsible for the normal strength of the skin and turgor of the skin. So smoking is something which you all should avoid, and you should never get into the company of those who indulge in this very dangerous habit. So remember, children, Swami's dictum A, B, C, avoid bad company. These are some of the do's and don'ts of skin care. As I already told you, it is said, Darshanam, Papanashanam, Sambhashanam, Sankatanashanam, and it is Sparshanam, Karma Vimochanam. When you touch the lotus feet of the Lord, it burns away all the karmas that we have accumulated in the past several births. And it is because of the skin that is able to perceive the sense of touch, we are able to have the blessing of Sparshan of the Lord, for which we must be ever grateful to the Lord. Children, you must remember, beauty is not only skin deep. What does this mean? It means when your heart is pure, when your mind is free of clutter, when your mind is free of stress, bad and evil thoughts, that gives glow to your skin. The skin will be shining and glowing. That is why we say inner beauty is important for external beauty. Face is the index of mind, as it is rightly said. So children, with this we come to the end of our discussion on the five sense organs. And Swami says, we must always have sattvic diet to keep the five senses healthy and sound. What is this sattvic diet? Swami says, sattvic diet includes seeing good things, listening to good things, breathing pure air, eating good and pure food, and also touching only holy and pure things. In conclusion, I want to leave you all with this profound quote of Bhagwan about the five senses. See no evil, see what is good. Hear no evil, hear what is good. Speak no evil, speak what is good. And finally, think no evil, think what is good. Jai Sai Ram.
As always, that was very interesting. Did you all enjoy learning about the largest organ of the human body? Maybe it's a good time to ask you all a question then. We all use our nose to breathe in air, isn't it, children? Do you know that some animals breathe through their skin? Can you tell us which are those animals that breathe with the help of their skin?
And if you know the answer, you can write to listener@radiosci.org. That is listener@radiosci.org. And remember what we asked you last week? How did strawberries get its name? Our friend Mrinal sent us a reply. But Mrinal, you told us how strawberry is not a berry.
And that is a tougher answer to give actually. And you've explained that. And that's great. But how did strawberries get their name? It is believed that street vendors would sell the berries strung together in a straw. And since they were berries on a straw, it is believed that they got the name strawberries.
Well, coming back to what we were talking about, the human body. Children, we speak every week about the food that is good, eating fruits, drinking water, and so on. But there are a few other external entities that can have a positive influence on our body too.
And one such that we are going to hear about is the Vedas. And we are not going to talk to you about it. We have some students from Swami's higher secondary school to talk about it to you.
And they are going to give us a presentation on the effect of Vedic chants on the human DNA. But children, do you know what DNA is?
Okay children, let's see if we can get a basic idea. You will read about it sometime in school anyways. But just to give you an idea, you all must be knowing that the human body is made up of what is called human cells. These are very tiny and are not visible to the human eye.
You know how small? Look at your hands. Your hands are made of millions of tiny cells. Let's say each cell in your hand is going to grow and become as big as a grain of sand. Not very big, just to the size of a grain of sand. Do you know how big your hand will become? It will become the size of your school bus.
That gives an idea of how small the cells are and how many are there. Now, all cells in the human body are not the same, children. In fact, there are approximately 210 types of cells. And each type of cell has a different function. There are bone cells, nerve cells, liver cells, and so on.
But how will each of these cells know what to do? Where do they get their instructions from? It is the DNA which carries the information. It is this DNA that also carries gene sequences. These decide all your traits. Why you look like your father, why you have your mother's eye color, and so on.
So needless to say, the DNA is a very important component of the human body. It is almost like the operating system of your computer. See, you can have the best LED monitor, you can have a super fast processor, amazing speakers and so on, but the computer will not work without an operating system or what we call an OS, right?
So, these children from the primary school are telling us that chanting or listening to Vedas or the Omkar can have tremendous benefits.
What we gave you is a very basic explanation of what a DNA is. If you are interested, children, you should go and read more about it.
You may not understand all that is said in this presentation, but do listen carefully. There is a lot to learn from it.
Om Shri Sai Ram. We, the students of the Shri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, Girls Wing, Standard 9, present before you a group discussion on the topic, Effect of Vedic Chants on Human DNA.
A group of researchers have come together with a group of scientists to discuss and inquire about any external factors that could affect the human DNA.
Om Vedamanochacharyo Antevah. Satyana Pramaditavyam, Dharmana Pramaditavyam, Kushalana Pramaditavyam, Bhutyena Pramaditavyam, Swadhyayam Pravachanabhyam na Pramaditavyam, Deva Pitrukaryabhyam na Pramaditavyam, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atithi Devo Bhava. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Wow, that was a wonderful and resounding chant. But I'm perplexed. How do scientists of such high caliber benefit from these group Vedic chants?
Yes, this question was bothering all of us.
Welcome, and that was a good question, young brains. Please come and take your seats, and let me tell you that the reason behind this group Vedic chants may serve as an answer to the purpose that you researchers have come with.
That is to say, for the purpose of this discussion?
Well, you may say that. Till today, scientists have made many great inventions and discoveries that have benefited us in many ways. But still, how could we, the Indians, ever forget that these inventions and discoveries are nothing before the knowledge contained in our scriptures?
Well, could anyone explain that better?
Let me explain this to you through two flashbacks. Flashback number one. All these days, modern scientists used to think that 98% of the DNA is useless and was even termed as junk DNA. This was because we knew the functionality of only 2% of the DNA, which was for manufacturing proteins and bodies. Since they did not see via experiments what the rest of the 98% could do, they concluded it to be junk DNA, non-coding in specific terms, as if God had given us a bond saying that DNA had to be only about coding proteins. Flashback number 2. Ancient Vedic seers had always said that the human body is capable of being influenced by light and sound, that the core of all creation is represented by the ultimate sound Om, that the positive light and sound that emanated from the fire and hymn chanting during yajnas and yagas created universal harmony. They had designed specific hymns with specific areas of influence and had always advocated chanting of these hymns in specific pitches and frequencies.
Then there must be a missing link.
Yes. Recently, a Russian experiment has proved that till yesterday, what was thought to be junk DNA is actually the DNA which creates a biological internet, which of course is wireless and communicates via light and sound waves. There is also an astonishing experiment that was performed by a well-known Russian scientist with his group, which explained the reprogramming of the DNA codon sequences using modulated laser light. From their discovered grammatical syntax of the DNA language, they were able to modulate coherent laser light and even radio waves and add semantics to the carrier waves. In this way, they were able to reprogram DNA in living organisms by using the correct resonant frequency of the DNA. The most impressive discovery made so far is that spoken language can be modulated to the carrier wave with the same reprogramming effect. Now this is a baffling and a stunning scientific discovery. Our own DNA can be simply reprogrammed by human speech provided the words are modulated with the correct carrier frequencies.
This is nothing but sound therapy or DNA therapy known to our learned sages, through which we can converse with our body via vibrations and waves. We can heal ailments, fine-tune our health and control body functions without any physical intervention like surgery or medical drugs.
Living DNA substance will always react to language modulated laser rays and even to radio waves if the proper frequencies are being used. Spiritual teachers have known from ages that our body is programmable by language, words and thought. This has now been scientifically proven and explained.
So things like intuition, telepathy, self-healing, light aura surrounding spiritual masters, effects of positive thinking, mind's influence on weather change and so on are no longer a domain to be studied outside the boundaries of modern science. Am I right?
Yes. In addition, there's evidence for a whole new type of medicine in which DNA can be influenced and reprogrammed by words and frequencies without cutting out and replacing single genes.
Could you elucidate how did the rishis of the yore create a positive atmosphere?
Sure. The laser-sharp focus of Sanskrit hymns, the ancient rituals and yajnas wherein rishis chanted these hymns in unison in hundreds of numbers clearly indicates that they were aimed at creating a powerful biological broadcast and invoking a communication with the DNA of those who were within the radius of the influence of this sound and light energy. Yajnas were to be performed with certain combustible materials and in specific amounts to produce desired light energy. This light energy, when combined with the large organized chants, would create a positive atmosphere. The chanting pitch had to be sharp and focused. Mistakes have to be avoided at all costs or else the chants would not have the desired effect.
You know, I have recently received a message from my friend. According to the research performed by the NASA, the sound of the sun is considered to be the most sacred sound of the universe. It is the sound that cannot be heard by the human ear because the audible range of the ear is between 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. The sound of the sun is much lower in frequency and also much higher in frequency than what we can hear. With the sound of the sun being part of the universal language system, NASA has recorded the sound of the sun in deep space. The inaudible waves were then compressed to fall into the audible frequency range. If we listen to this sound, we can hear and feel the vibrations. The sound of the sun recorded by NASA is precisely as the ancient Hindus have described it in the Vedas thousands of years ago. It is the mantra that can be intoned in human speech as the pranava, the om.
In the 6th century BC, Pythagoras also heard the sound of the sun and described it as a deep resonant hum with higher frequencies blended into it. How did the ancient Hindus know this mantra if it could not be heard by the human ear? Could they have actually peered into the universal consciousness and perceived it as human language or language of nature?
Language has information that can travel at the speed of light by entangling itself on more subtle energies. Just like the way we can send our voices as radio waves at the speed of light.
That's an interesting piece of news. Now coming back to DNA. DNA responds to extremely focused light and sound waves at a particular frequency.
Now I understand the article that I had read about the Russian scientists. The Russian scientists had captured information patterns of a particular DNA and transmitted it onto another, thereby reprogramming cells to another genome. That's how they had successfully transformed, for example, the frog embryos to the salamander embryos simply by transmitting the DNA information patterns.
Do you know that Marich of Ramayana converted himself into a beautiful deer? Hanuman mastered the great eight arts, the Ashtasiddhis of Anima, Mahima, Lagima, Garima, where he could instruct his body to become as large as a mountain, as tiny as an ant, as heavy as a rock, or as light as a feather. The evolution of this branch of science called wave genetics gives a completely new dimension to life. Sometimes we wonder how on earth can DNA gather information about its surroundings and modify its future generations. Einstein said that God does not play dice with men. The DNA does not mutate randomly and passively, but it interacts actively with the environment, writes better genetic codes and thereby creates new species.
That sounds cool. I've been waiting to ask you about the biological internet. Could you please tell me more about it?
Let me tell you about it. So here we have nature's own biological wireless internet which has been communicating and exchanging information from the past millions of years.
just as we have different devices and computers attached to each other for exchanging information, the biological internet too has been exchanging information from the past million unknown years. And much more than that, the artificial intelligence is still a dream in the man-made human digital internet, while the biological internet has a natural intelligence which not only exchanges information but also puts it into use by creating new species, which the computer cannot do. But yet, it can create new, improved software based on the exchanged information. Now, let's come to the core of the discussion. While Russian scientists used different electronic devices to create wave patterns to communicate with the DNA, our ancients too used a simpler and alternative technology, which is mind mastering, concentration and self-control coupled with meditation and dedication. This is one primary reason why our ancients exhorted us to look within.
Veda chanting has spread all over the globe as people have realized through scientific confirmation that Veda chanting boosts our concentration and memory power. It's a treasure passed on from our ancients of which we must be proud possessors. Am I right?
But mind you, all the credit goes to the one supreme person who is the root of all this.
Yes, the one whose greatest mission is the propagation of Vedas. Verily, he is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, the Lord of the universe.
But how do you know that? We are fortunate indeed to have studied in his esteemed institutions.
And whatever we are today, it's all because of him.
I am confident of what they say because they were the ones who introduced the Veda chanting and encouraged us to chant Vedas, mentioning its rewarding consequences and even took the trouble of teaching it to us. That was years ago, and since then our group has been doing exceedingly well.
Oh yes, and when we inquired as to how they knew about the power of the mantras, they attributed it to their alma mater and lauded it for the teaching them the Vedas and giving it utmost importance.
Now I see it's acknowledged worldwide that the DNA can be beneficially influenced by the Sanskrit Vedic chants. Our spiritual masters have taught us from ages that our body, mind and surroundings can be mastered and programmed by our words and speech with concentration and dedication.
Perhaps that's the reason why our ancients told us that purity in our thoughts and speech will bring about purity in the surroundings. The DNA in a positive atmosphere will broadcast positivity to the surrounding DNA.
And then they will amplify it 100 times or 1,000 times and continue broadcasting it to the rest of the world until finally the effect reflects back to you like an echo with 1,000,000 times more energy, giving life to your thoughts.
That is verily what Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba says. As you sow, so shall you reap.
In this context, I recall a beautiful experience that happened in the 70s. The Kirlian photographer Dr. Frank Baranowski had come to visit Swami. Dr. Baranowski's experiments with people's auras and Swami's divine aura is a known fact to the Sai community. But there is a sequel to this. In the early 70s, once Swami had asked the Vrindavan College brothers to join him for lunch. The Kirlian photographer, Dr. Baranowski, was also present and was invited for lunch. The sumptuous food was laid out on plates in front of the brothers. As the brothers were waiting for Swami to join them, Dr. Baranowski then used his Kirlian camera and took photos of the food. He found nothing special in the photos. Later, Swami arrived and joined the brothers for lunch. The brothers recited the Brahmarpana mantra before partaking the food. After the food mantra was recited, Dr. Baranowski again took pictures of the food. This time, there was a blue aura around the plates of food. He was excited, but still, having a scientific mind, asked Bhagwan about the blue aura around the food. Bhagwan said that the Brahmarpana mantra is a very powerful mantra and that after its recitation, the food is converted to prasadam as it has been offered to God. It further purifies the food and all items around it. Thus,
the blue aura was found around the plates of food after the mantra was recited. So much for the potency of the mantras. If they can energize food, then surely they must energize the one who chants it too, isn't it?
Yes, although the Sri Satya Sai system running in Prashanti Nilayam is highly scientific, from dawn to dusk, the day is filled with prayers, Suprabhatam, Nagasankirtan, Vedic chanting and bhajans in the mandir. What do you think is the purpose of all these prayer gatherings? Every prayer session is a live broadcast of positive radiations from Prashanti Nilayam to the entire world. Every participant of these prayer sessions carries a fraction of the divine vibrations to their residence or workplaces, and in turn each becomes a transmitter sending forth these divine vibrations, and thus in the language of physics modifying the region or space around them.
So, you mean to say that by merely attending mass prayers and loud Vedic chants wherever held, we are becoming a part of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba's mission?
Certainly.
I can assure everyone of the Satya Sai system as being highly scientific. For here, I am reminded of an experiment which falls in line with what was just said. It is an experiment performed by Russian scientists in which DNA in test tubes was exposed to coherent laser light. The laser light spiraled along the DNA helix as if it was guided by the structure of the DNA molecule. The most amazing effect was noticed when the DNA itself was removed and the laser light continued spiraling. The vacuum of the space that was just previously occupied by the DNA had changed, and something caused the laser light to keep spiraling. These effects had been measured and had remained for quite some time after the DNA was removed. The effect is now well known as the phantom DNA effect.
Very well, I agree with you. Also, the divine executor of so glorious a system, the Veda Purusha himself, magnanimously reframed the Vedic dictum of Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu as Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu for the benefit of not only the world in which we reside, but all the worlds wherein he resides and presides.
From all this discussion we have had, I can infer that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience, but spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Let's live our human experience to its fullest and return to the source, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Jai Sai Ram.
So, how did you like the presentation by the 9th standard children from the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School? I'm sure you found it quite interesting.
And isn't it wonderful to know that Veda chanting is so effective? That is why Swami gives so much importance to learning Vedas and also performing yajnams.
And talking of yajnams, do you know, children? An Atirudra Mahayajnam is being performed in the Vrindavan Ashram in Bangalore next week.
It is a very, very powerful yajna. It was performed in Swami's presence in August of 2006. Later, of course, it was done in the city of Chennai too. But do you know what is Atirudram? We all know Rudram, but what is Atirudram?
Oh, well, children, if you wish to know that, you have to come back next week. Now it is time for us to go. But if any one of you are interested, and if you live in or near Bangalore, do ask your parents to take you for the yajnam. You will enjoy the divine vibrations.
And it will do a lot of good to your DNAs too. So till we meet you next week, it is Sai Ram and good night from both of us.
Sai Ram.